So in this week's parsha, there's a question that the Rishonim grapple with. And Baruch Hashem, we have around so far, we gathered together about 18 different answers. So we'll go through the question. One answer is very famous, so therefore we'll probably, unless everyone thinks they don't know it, we'll skip that one. But we'll go with it. So Avraham Avinu is coming toward Egypt with his wife. And as he gets close, the Pasuk adds the words in, as he gets close to Egypt, he comes up with a strategy. He notices that times are bad, and he tells his wife, Sarah, to tell everyone that you are my sister. Why? Because this way they will make me live. They will allow me to live. Otherwise, they will kill me and allow you to live. So the background of the story is very simple. That he was afraid that if they would say he's his wife, they're going to murder him to get her. And if they say they're his sister, they'll provide a dowry for him as opposed to killing him. So you're going from A to B. Either get the dowry or you get the death penalty. So he decided, let's go this way. So the question that Rishonim ask is this question. And again, when I say Rishonim on the Torah, they ask a very good question. Avraham Avinu was afraid that the Egyptians were going to kill him. Why were they afraid he's going to kill him? Because otherwise they want to have their way with Sarah's wife. That would be committing the crime of adultery. They don't want to commit the crime of adultery. They're upstanding moral citizens. So what are they going to do to avoid the crime of adultery? They're going to murder him. So the question becomes, what does that mean? Why is murder less of a crime than adultery? If they're makbet on adultery, they're makbet on murder. If they're not makbet on adultery, they're makbet on adultery. Who cares? So what's the point that many of the Rishonim ask? What's the point of Avraham Avinu making the chesed for the Egyptians? Why would the Egyptians rather kill Avraham Avinu and violate one of the three cardinal sins, one of the big ones, as opposed to just having their way with Sarah either way? Why would they have to kill him? Just take her. Who cares? If you're not going to care about Isurim, Yuji Isurim, the Gimel Arai is Chamuris, so just take his wife and that's it. When you say it's my sister, you're avoiding everything. Because they won't have a reason to kill him. According to Avraham's times, they won't have a reason to kill him. Why? Because there's not, you could, a brother and a sister, big deal. And they won't feel guilty about committing adultery. That's the kasha of the Rishonim. Just as before, otherwise I'll do the most famous answer. Most people know the famous answer? I guess we'll go with that. Okay. Shai. So the most famous answer is this. But again, there's about 17 different answers. It depends how much time we have and how fast I'm capable of talking. But we know that answer. So it goes like this. There's a famous Ran in Yuma. The Ran says, the Mishnah says that if someone, God forbid, is deathly ill, then what he does is he violates all 613 commandments except for three. It's really not three, but everyone thinks it means three. But three big ones. The three big ones have many laws within the 613. But that means if someone, God forbid, is in desperate need of food, so you know what you tell the guy? Should you eat the food, non-kosher food, or take the death penalty? Eat the non-kosher food. Avada, eat the non-kosher food. Anytime a person is deathly ill, what do we tell the guy? Violate the Isser, except for three major Isser. Open Mishnah, guess what? Do you violate eating non-kosher food on Yom Kippur? The game of Clue, right? In Yom Kippur, in the room with the non-kosher food, what do you do? Avada. Doesn't make a difference. Of course you're going to violate the Isser, because you have to save a life. First rule of Judaism, Chayvim, save a life. Okay, that's a Mishnah. You don't need the Mishnah adds on, by the way, that if you're allowed to have a fire cell in Isurim, how big of a fire cell is it? Let's say we said you're allowed to eat on your kippah tray for food. Okay. What about if there's kosher food available? Pasha, you can't do that. If you have kosher food in front of you and non-kosher food in front of you, and it's the same, let's say it's exactly the same, you'll survive if you eat one of them. So of course, eat the kosher food. We're not going to be crazy about things. It's not a fire cell to just, by the way, you could violate all Isurim. No. If you need to violate Issa, violate an Issa. But if you have an opportunity, not. That's easy. That's whether you have kosher food and non-kosher food. So again, if you have non-kosher food only, eat non-kosher food. If you have kosher food and non-kosher food, eat the kosher food. What about the Gemara discusses openly? And the Vayendal, the Gemara says, what about if a guy has two types of non-kosher food? The Gemara discusses, he has a case of tevel. Tevel means they didn't separate the tithes, the tithing, the maisa on all the food. Or he has non-kosher food, an animal that was not slaughtered properly, an avela. What are you going to do? So the Gemara debates, which one is a less severe transgression? Same way you'll take kosher food over non-kosher food. You'll take less of an Isser over a greater Isser. Again, it's not a fire sale. If you need to violate an Isser, of course violate an Isser to save a life. But if you don't need to violate a severe Isser, you could violate a minor Isser, then do the minor Isser. If you're going into an ambulance and you could open the door with a shino, you know, it won't make any difference whatsoever. So of course, open with a shino. Why? It's not a fire sale. That's how it goes. Now you have to know then, in the Isser, what's less, what's more. What do you think is worse? Is it worse to eat in the veil? Is it worse to eat tevel? Okay. Now the Mishnah says, so if someone needs food on Shabbos, what you do is you tell the yid next to you, he needs food. Slaughter an animal and get him some food. Avada, pasha, you have to save a life. Don't hesitate. In order to save the life, slaughter the animal. Then comes this famous run. I make a joke all the time that everyone in this room, the biggest, was born ignorant. You were all born ignorant people. The job is not to be ignorant when you get to the final test at 120. Many things they're not going to ask you at 120. You're not going to have to know certain things. I doubt, it depends on where you're holding a life. I doubt you're going to have to know every single raga job when you get 120. Most of the things they won't ask you about. There's certain basic things you're going to have to know. I believe, and I'm a nobody, that this Ron you have to know. Because this Ron is applicable to 10,000 places. So the Ron has a kasha. The Ron says, why does the Mishnah say that a Jew slaughters the animal for you? Have a guy slaughter the animal. If the Jew slaughters the animal, you know what he's doing? He's violating Shabbos. If a guy slaughters the animal, so what happens? A guy didn't violate Shabbos. So what happened? He ate non-kosher food. What do you think is worse? Shmir Shabbos or non-kosher food? We always said we're trying to minimize the violations that are occurring. So if you have an option, eat kosher as opposed to non-kosher. If you have an option, eat less non-kosher as opposed to more non-kosher. So now you have an option in front of you. You need to have meat. You had a doctor's office the old days. The guy says, you must eat meat right now. So what are my two options here? Have a Jew slaughter the animal. Jew slaughter, that's a big one. That's a big one. Shmir Shabbos. Or a guy slaughter the animal and you eat nevela. I don't want to sound like a bad person, but okay, you know, we'll go to sleep tonight and we'll eat nevela. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's a minor crime. So why are you telling the Jew to slaughter it? The Ron's kasha. The Ron's answer, well, you have to know the 120. You have to know Ron's kasha, know the Ron's answer. So the Ron comes up with a massive yesod that applies in 1,000 different places in Gemara, Mishnah quotes it a million times. The Ron has this yesod. A recurring crime of a lesser crime is worse than a one-shot deal of a heavy crime. So for example, let's say right now I ask you, what's worse? You don't have a mezuzah on your house or you don't put on tefillin? I got to put on tefillin, right? The Gemara says, mandalay kakafta, the tefillin is such a bad thing. You don't have a mezuzah? No one's losing sleep of not having a mezuzah in your house. You know what's going to be worse? Not having a mezuzah. Why? Because when you don't have a mezuzah on your house, when do you violate it? Every single second you don't violate. When do you not violate not putting on tefillin? 1 second. 1 second. Every day, 1 second. Why? Because the whole morning you still have time to put on tefillin. You have to put on tefillin by the time it gets dark. So in the morning I come to you, I say, put on tefillin. And you say, I have time. You know what? You do. You're right. You have time. I come to you at midday. By the way, you got to put on tefillin. I have time. You know what? You're right. You have time. So you're not violating yet. I come to you at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock program. Screw you. What are you doing? I got to put on tefillin today. Yeah, okay, I have time. And every time you say it, I can't do anything to you. Bezdin can't do anything to you. Can't force you. It says they force you to do a mitzvah. They can't force you to do a mitzvah on tefillin. You still have 3 hours to go. But when it comes to 2 minutes left, depends how long it takes to put on tefillin, that's when you violate it. At 2 minutes left, you violate tefillin. How many times did you violate tefillin over the course of one day? One time. How many times did you violate not having mezuzah on your door over the course of one day? I don't know. Divide the seconds into a day and figure it out. It's a long day. It's a lot of violations. So the Ron says, when a guy has to eat meat, he has two options in front of him. A guy will slaughter an nevela. He'll slaughter the animal. It's non-kosher food. You know what you have in non-kosher food? Every chew, every bite. You want to be a little easier? Every kazayas. Every kazayas is a violation. How big a violation? Small little violation. Small little violation. But you know how many times you're violating it? Every time you start eating, you're violating it. What about the Jew who slaughters the animal? That's a big violation, Shmir Shabbos. How many times did he violate Shabbos when he slaughters the animal? One time. So therefore, the Ron says a big yisod. You tell the Jew to slaughter the animal on Shabbos, which is a massive violation, but it's a one-time violation, as opposed to telling the other Jew to eat the nevela, which is a multiple-time crime, because every time he's chewing, he has a violation. Which means the achronim want to say, by the way, that if the guy was told, eat one kazayas only and you'll survive, then it could be you'll tell the guy to slaughter the animal. But the Mishnah is talking about a general case. General case means, what are you going to do? So any time you're going to have a multiple... So if you don't want to answer like the Ron, excellent. If you the Ron asks a kasha, the Ron gives an answer. There are other answers. The easiest answer that you could say in parentheses is going to be that the Jew who slaughters the animal didn't violate anything. He's saving a life. That's the easy answer. That means why am I telling a Jew to slaughter an animal as opposed to telling a guy to slaughter an animal to eat treif? Because the Jew slaughters animals. I don't have anything. Correct. But the Ron doesn't give that answer. That's an answer that 120 year test, you have two answers now for that kasha. But the Ron's answer is important. Why is the Ron's answer important? Because the Milchus Sinuch takes this Ron, and everyone else does as well, and they apply it to 1,000 different cases. If you have to do tshuva, what do you got to do tshuva for? Because you violated Shabbos or because you ate 7,000 minor isurim of nevela? 7,000 minus room of it is worse. When you're going to do tshuva for not putting on tefillin one day or for not having mezuzah in your house for the entire day, bigger tshuva. What about paying money to avoid a contradiction? You have to pay money to avoid transgressing sins, right? What do you got to pay more money for? Could be you got to pay more money for the minor crime if it's a recurring crime. So every time you have an avera in front of you, you got to figure out, what is this crime? Is it a one-shot deal or is it every second? You don't pay your worker on time. How many times did I violate not paying my worker on time? Is it I don't pay him at nighttime or I don't pay him every single second during the nighttime? Every single mitzvah you come up with, you now have to figure out, is it a recurring crime? Big debate how you judge this. Is it a recurring crime or not a recurring crime? If a guy in the Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have a milah, how many times is he even not doing a milah? Is it one time? I didn't do a milah my whole life. Or every single day. And every mitzvah becomes this thing. But you have to know the general yisrael of the Ran. The general yisrael of the Ran is a multiple crime of a minor crime is much more severe than a one-shot big one. You're making the kasha stronger. You're saying, why should I tell a Jew to violate a Shabbos? It's not the same guy who's sick. Yeah, all Gemara Yuma questions. But now we're going to come to the most famous answer, which Yehuda knew. The most famous answer now is, what was Avraham Avinu thinking? According to this cheshbon, the Mitzrayim were geniuses. They were finaglers. They figured like this. We have one option in front of us. We have a guy showing up with his wife. We want to have a beer with his wife. If we have beer with his wife, she's a married woman. You know what that means? We violate adultery. How often do you violate adultery? Every single time. And it could be within every single time you've been violating more than one time. As opposed to killing a guy, one-time transgression. So the first answer given by about 17, 18 Rishonim that they already printed, the first answer is going to be the easiest answer, I think. The most famous of the answers is going to be that when it comes to Avraham Avinu, who's asking Sarah, say you're my sister, don't say you're my wife. Why? Because they're going to kill me as opposed to doing adultery. We ask Akasha, why the wife? If they're nervous about adultery, they should nervous about murder. Yeah, they are nervous about Yisurim, but they're nervous about Yisurim that are multiple times. They're not nervous about Yisurim one time. That's what they were thinking of. They were nervous one time, not the other time. So murder became a one-shot problem as opposed to adultery that became a 10-shot problem. That is the most famous answer. Now we'll go to different answers to get ourselves excited. In last week's parsha is a fascinating thing. And it was in the last week's Zer Emes, if anyone wants to go online and check it out. What is the final Makkah B'Patish? What did they do in the story of the flood? Vatishaches ha'aretz lefnei. Vatishaches means the earth became, what's in English, tishaches, do you remember? Decrepit? Corrupted. That's what Oscar says. We'll say it means they're right. The earth became corrupted. Vatimalay earth chamas. And then it was filled with chamas. So what's vatishaches, corrupted? What does corrupted mean? Corrupted, I don't know. It means your computer is not working. Corrupted means, Rashi says it means they did what? Adultery and idolatry. Okay. And what does vatimalay earth chamas mean? They did theft. So the question becomes, and the obvious question from last week is, wait a second, what's worse? Adultery, idolatry, or theft? What's a worse crime? Of course, adultery and idolatry is worse than theft. Those are the big three. They're from the big three. This is from the one. Who cares? So if you're paying attention, you have an easy answer. We're talking about the flood now. What would be the easy answer by the flood? Why was it worse that they stole as opposed to being worse that they did? Akash Baruch says, listen, they're doing adultery. Yeah, I'm not going to destroy the world. I'm a patient person. I have mercy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a racham, a chanan. She says, you know what? Adultery is rampant, but who cares? Oh, the Hamas, no, I got to end the world right now. And by the way, if you know the Medrash, the Chama says what? They stole what? Shavapruta. Pacha b'Shavapruta. It's not even a real crime. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so upset that they stole Pacha b'Shavapruta? Who cares? So the answer, what we said now, we're going to give a different answer in a second to go on both. The answer is going to be that when you steal, you know how often you violate theft? Every single second. Every second, it's in your hand, you violate theft. How often do you violate adultery? Idolatry? I don't know. Depends on what the guy was thinking. I don't know. Maybe it's one time. So therefore, the theft became a worse issue. That's one approach to why last week's parasha, same yisoid. This yisoid of the Ran is applied to 1,000 places. Almost every parasha, you can apply it. Almost every mitzvah, you can apply it. It's a very serious thing. That's why you have to know the Ran. But there's another answer also now. Rashi said a very interesting thing. Rashi said, "Vatishaches ha'aretz meant idolatry and adultery." Now, in general, you could always look up the Rashi's sources. Usually, in that article says it's sometimes Tanchuma, Medrash Rabbah, whatever it is. And many times, you're going to look up, and you're going to see the Medrash that is slightly different than Rashi. Rashi has a billion reasons why he wrote it the way he did. Sometimes he'll leave out a word, sometimes he'll change a word. Sometimes he'll take the end of the Medrash before the beginning of the Medrash. Fascinating study, by the way. Spend your whole life doing Chumash Rashi, just each word, each Rashi on how the Medrash. It's almost never the exact words of the Medrash. There's always one word a little bit, I don't know, I can't say never. But there's many times the word has changed, the order has changed. It's very interesting. In the Medrash, when it says about the word Vatishaches, came corrupted. So if you have to guess right now, Rashi, you have one answer, idolatry. Second answer, it means adultery. So it means Vatishaches has more than one interpretation. If you had to guess, what would be the third interpretation of it? Murder. They always go together. Doesn't idolatry, adultery, murder always go together? These are the three big ones. Rashi left out the word murder. Rashi left it out. Look at the Rashi. The Medrash did not leave it out. The Medrash happens to say, Levi says, it's Levi in the Medrash, Levi says, I want to tell you what the word Vatishachas means. Vatishachas can mean, he quotes the psukim, the word Ashkasa could be by idolatry, the word Ashkasa could be by adultery and murder. Rashi left out the word murder. Very interesting. Yeah. Why would Rashi do that? What does he say? Right? It's very strange. You have to look at the Medrash, it says murder as well. So I'll tell you a fascinating thing. It's possible to answer. This is not my own. I'm adding it into Rashi and Noach. That's my addition. But this answer I'm giving you is real. Why are we showing him? What's the pshat back to our main question? Our question is, why was Avraham Avinu assuming that the Egyptians would not do adultery, but they would do murder? Come on. Murder is just as bad, or maybe worse. So one answer is going to be, that was the first answer, one-time crime. Second answer is going to be now. Because people are like, they understand. When you put, the reason why we have Bechira in this world is, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish you every time instantaneously you did something wrong, you would have no Bechira. Yeah. So there has to be a Bechira in the world. But usually, if a person gets punished enough times, he doesn't do something. So they want to answer like this. That the Mabul came because of the Chet of Arias. There's a reason why theft was the final Makam of Patas, the final nail in the coffin. There's 75 answers why that's true. But in the reality, when it says the world had to be destroyed, that the world became corrupted, what was corrupted was Znus and idolatry. And you know what the result of that corruption was? Destruction of the world. It doesn't say murder. It could be Rashi's telling us that, yeah, there's a real thing. In God's world, they knew about the murder. But in this world, sometimes Rashi and the Chumash are telling you what they're seeing at life. We don't always know everything. We're seeing what we do. In this world, in the time of Noach, they only knew about adultery and idolatry. They weren't aware about the murder, the rampant murder that was going on. Maybe people pretended it was suicide. Maybe people pretended if a guy fell off his roof, the brakes on the car wasn't working. So people didn't realize that murder was a big deal. For whatever reasons, either they didn't realize people being murdered, or they decided murder is not a big deal. So they never made a cheshbon that murder is bad news. They knew adultery is bad news, adultery is bad news. You know why it's bad news? Because the world was destroyed. So now, a few years later, Avraham Avinu is coming along, and you know what the world has a thing in? They know themselves a few things. Adultery, bad. Why? Destruction of the world. So they say, we don't want to commit adultery. Not because we're good people. Not because they're lamdonim and lawyers and they're making cheshbonis. Well, how many times? No. They're making simple cheshbonis. When I touch the zapper, like the mouse that touches the zapper, I get zapped. So if I'm going to do adultery, the world can get flooded. Adultery is a bad idea. The society itself realized we cannot allow adultery to occur. Since the society realized adultery cannot occur, why? Because it happened in the time of Noach. Then we're going to avoid adultery at all costs. What does it mean to avoid it at all costs? We'll kill someone. Is murder less? We're not. It could be they don't even consider it a crime at all. They're not even afraid of the crime. They're afraid of getting caught.
I had this question. It's at the end of the lesson, Parsha. There was that one passage that when we're talking about eating animals,
right?
The end of the lesson, Parsha. Then Hashem talks about the Irish of murder. What's the was at the end of the lesson, Parsha?
Well, Noach after the flood.
Why did Hashem wait till then?
If it doesn't mean the world knew it.
Why did he say that Cain in heaven? Why did he say it right after?
Yeah. Good question. I have to think it through if it ties into this. I'm just saying here, Rashi was saying that the destruction, it's good, that the destruction was based on idolatry and adultery, which means the Olam understood idolatry and adultery bad. They didn't understand Ratzicha is bad. Therefore, they said, you know what, we'll kill Avram to get to his wife. Who cares? We're not makban on murder. We're makban on adultery because we get zapped. So answer number one was recurring crimes. Answer number two is that they understood. I don't know if they cared about adultery. It doesn't mean they even held adultery as bad. It's not clear what they held. Maybe it's bad, maybe it's good. They knew there's a punishment for adultery. The guy says, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? I'm sorry, I got caught. Right? 99% of the time, the guy says, I'm sorry. Why is he sorry? He's not really sorry. He says, no, he got caught. I'll do it next time, I won't get caught. That's all it's about. So here too, it's not the Egyptians were such moral people who were anti-adultery. We're not anti-adultery. We're anti-suicide. We don't want to have a flood. You know what I'm saying? We're not interested in that being flooded again. We went through that one time before. Who's interested in that one? So therefore, Avraham Avinu knew this was the cheshbon of the Egyptians. That's a more normal cheshbon. He knew the cheshbon was these guys that don't want to be zapped again. It's not zapped. It's the opposite of zapped. They want to be drowned. Since they don't want to be drowned, we do that. Third answer. Again, there are many, many, many answers. Not enough time. Third answer of why Avraham Avinu was more nervous that the Egyptians would violate murder as opposed to the Egyptians violating adultery is an interesting thing. Because we'll go this way. There's ideas of how people work subconsciously. There's consciously and subconsciously. And subconsciously, usually, when you want something, you make millions of cheshbonis. Usually, you don't even understand what you're doing. No self-awareness by most people. So you're starting to think this guy's bad, this guy's good, the whole spiel. So they want to say like this. that these people, Avraham Avinu was saying, listen, I don't know if they're making cheshbonis, adultery. You know what? They have a taiva. People have taivas. You know what you have a taiva? So what happens when you have taivas? Your brain turns off. And you make cheshbonis that are so krum, it's beyond comprehension. Right? So he said, they're going to come up with a cheshbon. They're going to come up with a cheshbon to get me killed. Not that they're going to murder me in order to do adultery directly and they're going to make... No. They're going to murder me on a other reason. They're going to come up with another reason. A classic reason will be, you know what Avraham was? He was a violator. He was married by Malchus and the greatest melech of the generation. There was a person named Nimrod who threw Avraham into Kishon Esh. He survived. But Lamai says, Avraham Avinu, but a velt. Is Avraham Avinu a good guy or a bad guy? He's a man who is a capital murderer, capital crime, capital punishment. He deserves capital punishment. He deserves capital punishment. Not only deserves capital punishment, they gave him capital punishment. They threw him into the fire. Happy to me, he survived. So they would make a cheshbon to themselves. Oh, Avraham showed up to Egypt. He must be running away from Nimrod. That's a good idea. Why is he running with Nimrod? Because he's afraid they're going to kill him again. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to be a righteous individual. I'm going to be a righteous. I'm going to take revenge for the greatest king of all time. Who's Avraham Avinu? He's a guy who's koyfe b'avodah zarah. He's anti avodah zarah. Avraham Avinu. He's against everything we believe in. The man's the worst person in the history of the world for society. He's be'ever echad. He stands alone by himself. It's a mitzvah to kill such a person. But not that they're making these cheshbonis in order directly related to the concept of the adultery with his wife. No, they have taivas. Once they have taivas, they make up all cheshbonis. The cheshbon's going to be, we want to kill Avraham Avinu. Why do we want to kill Avraham Avinu? Now they'll make up a million cheshbonis. They'll come up with a kangaroo court. They'll do kangaroo court, and like they did in Germany and Russia, all the other places in the world. The guys, right, what do we call it now? When the politicians do it, they go after the guy, I forget what they're called. Okay, whatever, what? They call it when they go after the guy, they use the justice system. They're going to use the justice system in order to get out of it, right? What? Weaponized, that's a good word. Right, that's the word. They're going to weaponize the justice system. They're going to kill Avram. So Avram said, listen, if they think you're my sister, they're going to mach good by me. They're going to give me cattle. They're going to do a nice dowry. They're going to treat me very, very, very well. Let's go with the right way to do this. But if they think I'm a husband, they can't think straight. Can't think straight. What are you going to do? That's answer number three. Answer number four. It's a wild one. They're all wild ones. Again, not my own. There was a concept. The Gemara says, you have to know if they knew this, the Gemara says that a mamzer that is unknown as a mamzer is einachai. Not necessarily, the mamzer doesn't necessarily, mamzerim don't live. According to classic Talmudic law, that if someone, God forbid, was a mamzer, then in order to have a Kadosh Baruch who wants to avoid populating the planet with such things, in fact, there's even a question among the Achronim, if a mamzer is mechuyev in the misapproval, let's say a mamzer is a guy's a mamzer. If he can get married to a convert, or he can marry mamzeris. But what's going to happen when he has a kid? The kid will be a mamzer. So there's a question of a mamzer is mechuyev in misapproval. The Rambam doesn't say it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. The Ramah says, rather, maybe, yeah. But the Rambam doesn't say it. Why? Why would a mamzer not be mechuyev in misapproval? We don't want to populate the world of mamzerim. HaKadosh Baruch has his reason. We don't want the world of mamzerim. Therefore, mamzerim automatically, in the classic sense of the word, pass away. If you're alive today, you're good. Mamzerim don't make it. So they want to say a wild idea. That they held, it's unbelievable. Cheshbonis of the Egyptians. They held that if they commit adultery and she becomes pregnant, they're also going to commit murder. They're mamela creating a child that they're going to get killed also. That a real lamed cheshbon. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to be violated. If we want to violate less, not based on how many times I'm oiv nisa. I want less yisurim. But if I'm doing murder without doing adultery, right? If I kill Avraham, there's no adultery. It's murder. But if I do adultery, I might also do murder. So to avoid both, we do one. Anyway, we'll wish everyone a good night. I want to thank you all for listening. There are many, many, many answers on this question. Therefore, if you spend time thinking about it, if you think about it, you can come.